All right. As these Lego scenes are coming forward, you'll be pleased to know you're not going to have to stand up to see them, because we've got a little camera that we're going to put on them so that you're able to see them on the screens while the kids are bringing them around. So bring that first one up. Now, this narration that I'm about to share with you and these scenes that you're about to see are based on the vision that Daniel sees in chapters 10 to 12. Now, I encourage you to read these stories for yourselves, and if you're a part of a home group, you'll be studying these. Either you have studied them already, chapters 10 to 12, or you will be in the next couple of weeks, and that will be a wonderful thing. So I want to set the scene, first of all. We're at the end of Daniel's life. Daniel has been faithful. He has... That's it. Daniel's been faithful. He's continued in his prayers. And at times he even fasts for a certain period so that he can seek the Lord. And in one of these periods, while he was fasting and while he was praying and while he was going about his daily business, he found himself standing on the bank of the Tigris River. And he has a vision. So here's Daniel standing on the bank of the river. And he has a vision. He has a vision of a man who's dressed in linen, whose face was like lightning, whose eyes were like flaming torches, whose voice was like the sound of a multitude. And Daniel is the only one who sees this vision. And as he listens to the man in the vision, he falls into a deep sleep, his face to the ground. And then the man from the vision touches him and says,
"You who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you."
So Daniel stands up, trembling, shaking even. And the man from the vision continues.
Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your minds to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them.
And while he was speaking, Daniel bows his face to the ground, and he's speechless. Until the man touches him again and touches him on his mouth, and Daniel is able to speak. So he says,
"I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe."
But the man from the vision reassures Daniel, saying,
"Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. Peace, be strong now, be strong."
So Daniel responds in this strength.
"Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength."
So the man from the vision goes on to tell Daniel about several kings. So all of these kings, the man from the vision says, will rise and they will fall. They will each come in their turn. We'll go to the second one now. They'll each come in their turn and they will each rise and they will each fall. As the book of Daniel tells us over and over again, kings come and kings go in their time. But finally, two kings will rise. There will be a king of the south, and there will be a king of the north. It appears that we have a king of the south and a king of the north coming up now. Excellent. And these two kings will wage war against each other many times over. They'll battle each other. They've got large armies. And sometimes the king of the north will prevail. And sometimes the king of the south will prevail. And the wars between these two kings can be well summarized in chapter 11, verses 25 and 27. Now, verse 25 says that the king of the south will approach with a large army, and the king of the north will rise up against him with a large army, and they will battle one another. And then verse 27 says that these two kings, at the end of one of these long battles, will sit down at a table together. And here comes our table. This is so beautiful. The king of the north and the king of the south sit down opposite one another at a table. And both of them, Daniel 11:27 tells us, have evil in their hearts, and they lie to one another, and they scheme against one another. But in the end, both will come to their end at the appointed time. Now, every king has his end, and the book of Daniel tells us this over and over again. But after one of these wars, after one of these battles, and after the scene where they sit at the table opposite one another, the king of the north loses one of these battles. And in his fury and his rage over having lost the battle, he turns toward the holy city, Jerusalem, and decides he's going to vent all of his fury on the holy city. So chapter 11 goes on to tell us how the king of the north will bring his large army, and he will mount and his train, apparently. And he will mount a siege against the holy city, Jerusalem. And in fact, the king of the north then will march into the temple. And it says the king of the north will commit the abomination that causes desolation. Now, the abomination that causes desolation was something that did actually happen in the temple. The king of the north, which is a man called Antiochus, that is being prophesied about here, he marches into the temple and he sacrifices an unclean animal, a pig, on the altar in the Holy of Holies. And that's what's happening whenever it says the king of the north commits the abomination that causes desolation. Very well done, all of you. And the king of the north then exalts himself, thinking he is the greatest king that has ever lived. And somehow he must be different than all those other kings before him who have risen and fallen in their appointed time. But then when it seems all hope is lost and the oppression and the terror are going to reign forever, protection and deliverance come for the people of Israel. The man from the vision tells Daniel,
"That time your people will be delivered."
And now we're back at the river, because Daniel is still standing on the bank and still seeing this vision of the man dressed in linen with a voice like the sound of the multitude. And Daniel looks, and now on either side of the river, there are two more men. And the man from the vision, the one dressed in linen, is hovering over the waters of the river. And one of the men asks the man from the vision, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" And the man from the vision answers,
"It will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed."
Now Daniel hears this answer and doesn't understand it, as perhaps many of you are feeling now. So he asks the man again,
"My lord, what will the outcome of all this be?"
But instead of a straightforward answer, Daniel receives an answer typical of these kinds of apocalyptic visions. The man says to him,
"Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance."
As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. So ends the book of Daniel. That's the final verse. And we're going to look a bit more in depth at that final verse here in a few minutes. But let's give the children and the young people a hand for those marvelous Lego scenes. Thank you, everyone. We come to the end of our series in Daniel, and indeed this vision, chapters 10 to 12, happens at the end of Daniel's life. He receives this vision from God, and it's a vision that shows terrible things, frightening things, especially for an Israelite. But it also shows that all those who are in power, who will rise up, will also fall. And the people of God, Daniel's people, will be delivered. Chapter 12, verse 1, the man from the vision says, "There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered." Now remember, this theme of kings and rulers and powers rising and falling runs all the way through Daniel. The narrative parts that are so familiar to us and these vision apocalyptic parts that are not so familiar. God is sovereign over every kingdom, and he gives them to those that he wishes to give them to. And those kings fall at their appointed time. Those in power do not escape the sovereign judgment of God. Now Daniel, quite understandably I think, wants to know when. When are all these things going to come about? It's so much easier to persevere, to go your way till the end, to persevere when you know when and where the end is coming. If you've ever done any sort of endurance training, you'll know this very well. Walking, running, cycling, swimming, any form of endurance training. To know where the finish line is, to know when the finish line is coming, to look down at your watch and know, if I can just make it another 12 minutes, if I could just make it another hour and a half even, I can do that and there will be a finish line. Often that's enough to keep us going. We don't just need to know that an end is coming. We need to know when the end is coming. It's one thing to be told God will overcome, that evil will come to an end, that deliverance is coming. But we'd like to know when. And Christians have asked this same question for centuries about John's visions in Revelation. "Thank you, Lord, that you are victorious." We get that from Revelation. But please tell us, how much longer must we endure? How much longer must we persevere? But Daniel's not given a straightforward answer to his question. Verses 8 and 9 in chapter 12, Daniel says, "I heard, but I didn't understand. So I asked again, 'My Lord, what will be the outcome of all of this?' And he replied, 'Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end.'" Not a straightforward answer. Not, I think, the answer Daniel was hoping for. Instead of a straightforward answer, a specific time, Daniel is told to be faithful. Keep doing what you're doing, Daniel. So the first thing I want us to see from this final verse of Daniel is the instruction to be faithful to the end. "As for you, go your way till the end." Now, I think that is an instruction, an encouragement to Daniel to keep doing what you're doing. See, Daniel's demonstrated faithfulness all the way through this book, all the way through his life. From those story bits at the beginning, chapters 1 to 6, Daniel refuses the king's choice food because he considers it unclean and decides to go another way in order to honor his God. He's upstanding and praiseworthy in his service to a foreign king. He doesn't accept bribes, as he's offered in chapter 5. The king tries to give him a bribe in order to get favorable interpretation of that writing on the wall. Daniel doesn't accept it, and instead gives the interpretation God has given him. And Daniel continues in his daily prayers and his daily worship of God in chapter 6, even when there's a law on the books that prevents him from doing that, prohibits him from doing that. Remember, Daniel is in exile. He and his friends and the people around him who've come from Jerusalem are in exile. And there are plenty of reasons for him, for them, to compromise. But Daniel doesn't. And in these stories, chapters 1 to 6, that take place over 70 or 80 years of Daniel's life, Daniel demonstrates faithfulness. And so this encouragement in the final verse, the man from the vision tells Daniel, "Go your way till the end." I think that's an encouragement to remain faithful. Now, the next bit of this verse, "You will rest." You will rest. I think that's an encouragement from the man in the vision not to fear death. "Go your way till the end" means, Daniel, the end is coming for you. You will die. But it won't be a death you need to fear. It's a death you can rest in. You don't need to fear dying in a foreign land. You don't need to fear dying under foreign oppression, which perhaps Daniel did fear. But don't be afraid, Daniel. You will rest. And then, at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Be faithful to the end, Daniel. Do not fear death, because resurrection is coming. Now this, in Daniel chapter 12, is one of a very few references to resurrection in the Old Testament. There aren't very many references to the afterlife or to resurrection. We get one in Ezekiel, that story of the dry bones, many of you will know. We get a couple of references in Job and in the Psalms. But this one, I think, is particularly helpful and particularly explicit about resurrection. It uses that word, rise. Do not fear death, Daniel, because resurrection is coming. And I think that encouragement is helpful to us as well. Not that we are necessarily living in a foreign land. For many of us, this land is our home. Not that we're necessarily living under foreign oppression. Not in the way Daniel was. But there are people throughout the world for whom that is true. They are living in a foreign land, either by choice or because they were displaced from their homeland. They are living under foreign oppression, perhaps even in their own land. And I think these three instructions, encouragements from the man in the vision, pertain to them as much as they pertain to us. Be faithful till the end. Do not fear death, because resurrection is coming. That's what I want us to hear from the end of the book of Daniel. Let us not be confused by some of the crazy imagery that we see in some of these visions. It's all important imagery. But let's not be confused by it. And see that even though death is coming, resurrection is coming after through Jesus Christ.